Welcome in, everyone, to another live edition of 410 Sports Talk. I'm Glenn Martin here with my co-host, James Haskell, who is on the road, currently behind the wheel of a vehicle, but didn't let that stop him from coming out and talking to you guys. How's the road, Jimbo?
It's good. My eyes are straight forward, focused on the road, and I've been thinking a lot about the Ravens today, hanging out with the family. I'll tell you what, Glenn, I've gone through – at some enemy territory today. Gone through Pittsburgh.
No,
I'm basically. I guess we just passed. Yeah, we just passed Cleveland. So you know, making my way around the AFC North. That's right. Yeah, I certainly didn't. I wasn't looking forward to hanging around, but made it through the other side and excited to get to Chicago. All that being said, it's a pretty day out. Couldn't ask for too much better. So yeah, man, we're here ready to talk some Ravens. How you doing?
Doing well. Happy to see the guys back on the field today. You know, in the limited capacity that they are, it's still nice to see them out there. Also, good to see some guys who hadn't been there yet. You know, specifically Mark Andrews. Nice to see he just arrived for OTAs, participated today, had an opportunity to speak to the media. So, it's been nice, man. It's been I love the Wired session that just went up. I think either yesterday or the day before. It got us an opportunity to see, you know, what Greg Lewis is like, you know, the new wide receiver coach taking over.
Yep.
But it's interesting. I would love to know like the power dynamic, because Keith Williams is still very much so involved, but yet at practice, at least in the clips we saw from the Wired session, it was Greg Lewis that was the far more active, talking constantly, correcting, coaching. And it looked like Keith Williams was taking more of a backseat role. Whereas last year when we saw him, I mean, you can attest to it, Jimbo, he was out. And again, he's in this full sweatsuit again, man. I mean, some things don't change, but he took a bit of a backseat role while still right next to him and right there. I kind of am interested as to like what the power dynamic is between those two guys.
Yeah, the only things I've seen, I'm not saying that this is what's happening, but the things I've seen Keith being most active in are the individual drills of the wide receivers. So that could be a distinction. I saw him doing a lot, and his influence is still there. Now he's throwing around rugby balls. I don't know if you saw that with Rashad Bateman, but I think, you know, that's really cool and really interesting stuff. So maybe that's a bit of a distinction where, you know, his skill set in the past has been with guys in one-on-one type interactions, and maybe that's how they're deciding to use him a little bit more.
Yeah, no doubt. I think nothing wrong with having more good coaches, Jimbo.
Yeah, like, the more redundancy. The nothing is wrong with redundancy.
Not when it comes to that profession, that's for sure.
When
the margins are, you know, razor thin and 0.1% of an edge is considered, you know, quite drastic. But quick shout out, Jackson. What's going on, Jackson? Adolfo, what's going on, Mark? Stackhouse, appreciate you guys coming out. Charles, appreciate you guys being in here with us. But we got a lot to talk about. We're going to talk about J.K. Dobbins, his tweets. Bit cryptic. I'm not really sure what made him put these tweets out, but we'll get into that. I want to get into reports coming out a couple days ago that there was a bit of a dust up between Marcus Peters and Lamar Jackson at the end of last season, apparently circling around Marcus Peters thinking maybe Lamar should be playing, and he might just be one of maybe the vocal leader of maybe a small minority group of people who did feel then Lamar Jackson could have had a go at it. So we'll get into that. But before we do, you know, that, I want to dig more into what we saw from training camp today. And Jimbo, I know you had some notes about the offensive side of the ball specifically.
Yeah, for sure. So, of course, we can't be there, right? So we're trying to parse from videos and from reporters. And one of the things that caught my eye when I was, you know, trying to pick up on some information was, you know, Lamar's – they talked about the offense overall being rusty and, you know, Lamar being a little off on the deep ball basically all day. And it seemed like, based on the reports, some people were more concerned than others. One of the specific reporters, Jonah Schaefer, said, you know, Lamar's only been here for a handful of days, so a bit to be expected. But in my eyes, like, no red flags. You know, I think ultimately it's a new offense and there's a lot to be learned. There's going to be a lot of growing pains. We want to get it out now. But Glenn, I got two questions for you. One, does this cause any concern for you? And two, does this give any validation to the people that were like, Lamar, you should have been there day one?
Well, I think that getting the bad days out of the way early is not a bad thing. And I'd rather him be, you know, a little rusty and a little off during these OTA periods rather than the start of training camp. So I guess in that regard, it's good that he's here. And it sounds like he's not the only quarterback that had struggles. Is what I'm hearing is that offense in general lost to the defense today. And look, that's not alarming. That's not shocking, because most of the time the defense is ahead of the offense in the offseason, I should say, because the offense requires so much more timing, cohesiveness. It takes a certain bit of familiarity,
like chemistry.
There it is. It takes more chemistry, I think, between pass catcher and thrower to get on the same page. Whereas defensive, you know, yeah, you got to get some timing. You're working on your technique. You're making sure your pedal is clean. You're making sure you can, you know, open up your hips, turn and run. You can do, but there's not as much, you know, timing and stuff that goes into the defensive side of the ball. So no shocker. And also, let's be honest, Jim, it's a pretty damn good defense that they're practicing against. And for the most part, all their major players are present. Like, I heard Marcus Williams had a nice interception today. We know that Pat Queen's been there since day one. We know that Roquan's been there since day one. Whereas the offense, even though they got some studs back, and Mark Andrews being, you know, the big one there today, there's also a ton of players still missing on the offensive side, including, you know, their veterans on the offensive line. J.K. Dobbins is still yet to participate or to show up. Gus Edwards is there, but he's only on the side participating in one-on-ones or in solo drills. So not shocking, not concerning, and it's honestly what's more expected. But to your last question, I do think it's better to get these out of the way now rather than when training camp is full go.
Yeah, 100%. That's what practice is for messing up, right? So ultimately, I think if you're not messing up in practice, you might not be pushing the envelope enough. So I'd like pushing the envelope to be a habit. I'm okay with it ultimately at the end of the day.
If you think this was still Roman's offense, it wouldn't look this like, because they already know the, like, how much do you think learning a new offense is playing a part?
Big time. I think that's playing a significant part in the lack of chemistry and the lack of cohesion and things like that. I think it's everything, right? Because this is not just we're going to tweak the offense. This is like we're going to get down to the foundation of this thing and like do it all different. Right.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I think that has a lot to do with that. I bet you it's on days like this. I bet you it's pretty entertaining to see Monken out there just, air traffic control. I imagine him with orange cones, like, you know, directing traffic, telling guys what to do, yelling at guys and in a good way. But like based on what we've heard about him, he's very talkative, very vocal, very detail oriented, much different. Not that Greg isn't detail-oriented or anything, but certainly not the talkative, out there in the middle of the field, demonstrative type guy. That's not Greg's style.
No, it's definitely a big, big difference, and I think it's a refreshing change to those on offense. Now, one of the gentlemen that's back at practice today got an opportunity to speak to the media, Mark Andrews. I know was everyone excited to get him back in the building and kind of see what he looks like in this new offense. And Jimbo, I know you were happy to hear his answer to, I think it was like maybe the first question he was asked about, you know, there's not a whole lot of balls to be going around. You got an awful lot of mouths to feed, awful lot of new weapons. What's your, what's your concern level about not having enough targets to go around? And Jimbo, what was his answer?
Yeah, I don't really care. I love it. Love that. That's a quote from Mark. That's my answer to you. That's a quote from Mark. I'm so happy that Mark said that. I think it's awesome, right? Because I think it's the right mentality. I think this is what we've always seen from Mark. Mark has always been a team first guy, in my opinion. He's always been about the team. From the effort that he puts in, I don't ever see Mark slouch, you know, chase downs on interceptions. He's gotten so much better at blocking. So many of his catches are pure effort. So Mark Andrews is certainly one of my favorite Ravens. And I didn't expect anything different. Nonetheless, it's so fun to have a pass catcher that has zero diva in him. Zero. Like, and I love that about Mark Andrews. So shout out to him for that. I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, I think he has a ability because he ultra competitive. You know, like we see sometimes last season where he was frustrated at lack of production, participation in the offense, but it doesn't come off as because he just wants to get his. It's because I'm pretty good and I'll help us win. So I'd like to be involved because I think it gives us the best chance to win. So I love that he's competitive, but it doesn't come off as selfish. That's kind of the part that gets me. But also, you're kind of breaking up, Jimbo.
Sorry, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, that's better. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, sorry, really quickly. When you're the guy, like, it's okay. It's not selfish to say, well, it's okay to have the frame of mind right now. Getting me the ball is the best thing for the team. Right? Like, and that's
especially
exactly
if you're right and everyone agrees.
Yeah, that exactly. That's exactly how it comes off. Because Mark doesn't do it all the time. It's not like they're losing by 50. And he's like, dude, I need my 8 and 100 yards and a tutty. No, like we need ball. So I agree with your point there. I think that Mark does a really good job at that. He's team, man.
No doubt. And he expressed no surprise here that he was extremely happy Lamar Jackson got his deal done. He says, I just thank God. It's just a lot of stress to relieve. Like I always say, that's my quarterback. So he's, I'm sure, over the moon excited to have Lamar Jackson as his quarterback, knowing that he is his favorite target. And even though there's a lot more weapons, I don't think that part's going to change. I still think Mark Andrews will remain the safety blanket for Lamar Jackson. And look, if you can dominate the middle of the field, man, that is the most important part. You have to be able to operate and dominate the middle of the field. If you can't, you're not going to go very far. So, yeah, I know Mark will be happy. But, Jimbo, I got to ask you about Patrick Queen, because initially when they drafted Trenton Simpson, he puts the tweet out saying, I think it was like sheesh or meh, something, where he clearly wasn't thrilled. Yeah, sheesh, that's what it was. But he showed up at everything. He's been at football school. He's been the first week of OTA. He's here again at the second voluntary OTA. And so he was asked about, why is he coming to these volunteer OTAs after, you took down the images from your social media that showed the Ravens after the Ravens say they don't want to do your fifth year, pick up your fifth year option. And he says, as anything in life, you go through emotions. It may take some longer to get over them. I just had many talks with many people, and I got and I got different outlooks on it. I came to the realization that not everything is a bad thing. The front office, I talked to them a little bit, and they kept me grounded and let me know what it really was and how they really feel. At the end of the day, this is the place I want to play. This is where I want to be. However, the chips may fall, and I'm happy with it. So I love this outlook, Jimbo. I love this response. This shows such maturity, and he's just correct. Like, the best thing for him to do, right, is just to come ball out next to Roquan, is it not?
Yeah, 100%. I think this is so awesome and a leap for Patrick, because if you remember, he got drafted, young kid, came off an incredible team. I mean, he had every reason to be as high on his horse as any of us ever could be, right? First round pick, all these other things. And he's kind of gone through this process. And I think we all go through scenarios in life where we are forcibly humbled. And you can really do two things. You can learn from it, or you can whine about it. And he's decided to learn. He's doing two things, in my opinion. He's being honest with himself, and he's controlling what he can control. And that's exactly what you said. If he does those two things, I think it's what's best for him, and I think it's what's best for the Ravens and everybody involved. And I congratulate him for it, because I think that takes courage. I think it takes courage. It's something that people think comes easily, but it certainly doesn't. So shout out to Patrick Queen, man. That was really awesome to hear.
Yeah, no doubt. This guy still dedicated, not taking his ball and going home. He's not complaining, dragging his feet. No. he's going to make the best of the situation, and I think that's the best for him financially.
Yeah.
You know, who knows? Maybe the Ravens can find a way to squeeze him under the cap, but I think he's going to get highly paid elsewhere. He also was asked about all the new additions on the roster and what the team's expectations are with those new additions. And he said, everybody around the locker room is saying Super Bowl. They're not saying Super Bowl or bust because we don't want to have a bust mindset. With the pieces we've got, the defense we got, the offense we got, the new coordinator, everything, the whole organization, everything that we need to win, we've got right here. We don't need anything else. And, I think that a lot of guys may say this type of stuff publicly, and some may have to say things that they may not necessarily believe. But I tell you what, I mean, I think Patrick Queen believes everything he's saying. I think that this team is Super Bowl or nothing, in the sense that, a lot of these guys are playing for their next contract. They're playing for their, some people are playing for, the opportunity to continue to play in this league. Maybe not Patrick Queen, but some of the other guys. And so I think this is a Super Bowl or bust mentality. But I don't know. What do you think about that? Like, because I know Giannis got big when Giannis was asked if this was a failure. You know, he was like, there is no failure in sports. There's just kind of like steps to winning. Like, do you look at his Super Bowl or bust, and bust being a failure? Like, how do you look at that?
Right. Yeah. I mean, ultimately there's only one winner and everyone goes home disappointed in the season. But I also, 100% agree with Giannis, right? Like, if you don't reach your goals, you got to learn from the situation. It's not about losing. It's about learning. And so I understand his point completely. And I've never subscribed to the, like, okay, it's all or nothing. Every year it's all or nothing, right? Under these constraints. So it's all or what can we learn so that way we get closer to it next year? Because if you're going to say all or nothing, then if it's nothing, are you just going to quit? Like, is that how it works? No, you're going to learn from it. You're going to come back next year. So I subscribe to that big time. 100%. I'll tell you what, PQ Glenn is definitely not choosing to be the guy that's the last even guy on a 4-4 basketball run that just had a bad game and now wants to go home.
And ruins it for everyone else.
That's right, because he was getting cooked.
Those of you who know, what he's talking about. But he's definitely not being that guy. I love the maturity he's showing, and I think 100%. It's only going to pay off and be, he'll be better for it, and he'll get more for it. Shout out to him. And then also quarterback coach T. Martin was another one of those who spoke to the media today. And he talked about the uniqueness in coaching Lamar Jackson as opposed to other quarterbacks. You know, of course, T. Martin being a very successful college quarterback in his own right back when he was in his playing days, and has coached high level quarterbacks at different stops along his career. And he said this when asked about Lamar. He said, everything is built around Lamar. I went back and everything I had done with players in the past at the quarterback position, he's so different. It's so unique that I went back and revamped all the drills toward Lamar Jackson's movement skills. So I love that, because oftentimes you get stuck in a rut. You do the same thing over and over. And somebody once told me, not everyone can be coached the same. Not everyone can be managed the same. Not everyone can be taught in the same way. So a standard curriculum at anything is not necessarily the best for developing and teaching younger people. So I love that T. Martin has taken a unique approach to coaching Lamar Jackson. You're not just coaching any quarterback. You're coaching Lamar Jackson. So what did you think when you heard about kind of the unique take on coaching him?
My first thought, what do you think the chances are that he dialed up Josh?
I hope so. I mean, yes. Only thing that would stop you is what? Like,
Lamar told him not to?
Yeah, I guess that. Yeah. But I mean, hey, like, he won the MVP with that guy as his QB coach.
Yeah. And I don't think I'm not making connections with any bad blood. I don't think there is. I think Lamar still attends Josh's events and things like that. So I doubt there's any bad blood. But yeah, that was honestly the first thought that came through my head was like, I wonder if he hit up our guy, Josh. Joshua Harris and help to help kind of frame his mind when coaching Lamar. But ultimately, yeah, I agree with you. You coach to the player. The player doesn't play to the coach. So I I think John, I might get ripped for this. I think John Harbaugh is the best coach, staff builder and staff recruiter in the NFL. And I don't know how close it is. I think John does an excellent job. Now, has he been perfect? Has he made mistakes? Of course. Didn't he take, who was the guy from the Bears, Mark?
Trestman?
Yeah, over Shanahan, Kyle Shanahan. Wasn't that something that happened?
I know he took Mark Trestman, but I don't know if Shanahan was in the running.
I'm pretty sure, but Shanahan was also like 22. No, I'm being, you know, I'm exaggerating here, but he was also a child, basically, yeah. Right? Like, he's in a different stage. And so my point is that I think that John does an excellent job at building his staff. And he's just an example of this. He's soaking in good coaching around him, and he's you know, getting down in the weeds and figuring out what he can do to best help Lamar Jackson. I think it's awesome. It's exciting stuff, man, because we really have no idea. Like, we have ideas, but we have no – we only have projections of what this offense is going to look like, but we don't really mm-hmm. know yet, because Monken is a chameleon. Like, he's an absolute chameleon. So he can change this offense at the drop of a hat. So it's just really exciting to see what's going to come out on the other side.
No doubt. I love, and you talk about being a chameleon. Imagine having to be a defensive coordinator tasked with preparing for this offense when you have no freaking clue yep. what it's exactly going to look like. I mean, like you said, you can look back on certain tape, but he was so influenced at his other stops. It's hard to know, you know, what he'll be doing, you know, with full control. And, to that point, oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, you know what? I'm hoping to a certain effect. Do you remember when the Patriots defense would come out, and even their offense, but when they were in the middle of their run, like, the defense would come out and their scheme would be so drastically different than the week before mm-hmm. because ultimately their objections were different, and they had the framework to change in a way that was quick, right? And so I'm interested to see. I feel like we have that type of potential because our run attack can be so dynamic and our passing attack can be so dynamic. So is it going to end up being a pick your poison type thing? Will the game plan be different every week and drastic enough for the average person to be like, wow, we threw it 40 times this week and we ran it 40 times last week and we were equally successful as both? Now it's a dream scenario, but I think we have the talent to do that, where other teams, I don't think they're well-rounded enough to do that.
Yeah, no, I agree. You got to build the right roster. And in fact, T. Martin was asked about Lamar Jackson's, you know, ability to control the game at the line of scrimmage. And he said that Coach Monken's system is very quarterback friendly, in the sense of you have the opportunity to change routes when need be. You do a lot of doctoring at the line in terms of protections. It's not that we didn't do it in the past. We're just doing it more of it, and we're going to be more vocal about it. So you'll be seeing him operate at the line of scrimmage a lot more. And he said, with that growth and with that responsibility, it comes with added responsibility with film work that you have to put in, extra work you have to put in on the field, and to where you're right most of the time. So it sounds like this is a lot more freedom for Lamar Jackson in this offense as far as game, like at the line of scrimmage, making changes. But it also sounds like a lot more responsibility for Lamar. He has to
crack open them books.
Exactly. He's got to make sure he knows this inside and out. So what's your, when you hear that, does that get you excited? Does it have you, you know, any nervous because he hasn't been asked to do that? What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think, so this is what I'll say about this. It gets me excited about the potential of it. And all I can do is go based on what I know that Lamar likes and knows how to work, and he's never seemed unprepared. He's never seemed mentally unprepared, in my opinion, and what I've seen. So it does make me a little nervous because we just don't know if he's ready and willing, because some guys just don't want to do it. Like, we've all heard the stories of Mike Vick having the playbook in the back of his trunk and, like, yeah, not looking at it. Just whatever, right? I'm not saying Lamar is that, but some guys just simply aren't willing to do it. And then when they are, it's too late in their career. But I've only seen the opposite of that from Lamar. So it gets me excited. And I'm hoping it takes advantage of this opportunity, because I think what this does for Lamar, if he can have, you know, ultimate success here in offense, it gets rid of any, I think absolutely stupid and ridiculous, you know, categorizations that people will say about Lamar, right? Because they'll say, oh, he's different than a Pat Mahomes. He's different than a Joe Burrow. He's not commanding the offense, you know, where he's just getting up there and saying hut with 4 seconds left on the play clock. It's not the same dynamic. You know, he's not this true atypical quarterback, which he's not. We don't want Lamar to be. But my point is that if he can be the best of both worlds and still be Lamar Jackson, I think it would – not that any of this matters to him, but we're in the media, so it matters to us, and, like, we're Ravens fans. So I hate when people say this crap about Lamar. So it's exciting for me to just have one less thing that people can say about Lamar when he gets up there and he's got full control of the offense and he's running the show.
Yeah, no doubt. This will be a fun season. Also, a lot of maybe prove it wrong moments for Lamar Jackson if he plays well. But that, you know, I think we expect him to, but he still has to put the work. It's like when they asked Nelson Agholor about the, you know, the talent in the room and the expectations and, you know, kind of where he expects this offense to be. He said, I loved his answer. He just said, as hard as we're willing to work. You know, it's not all going to be given to us. So, yeah, we have the talent, but now we have to put the work in or it means nothing. So I love that outlook because oftentimes, you know, you think the best paper talent wins the Super Bowl, but it's almost never the case. The best team on paper rarely ends up being the final team standing. So
remember that Browns team that was like all over ESPN and Sports Illustrated?
With OBJ. Remember the Eagles team when they got Nnamdi Asomugha, they got Mike Vick, they had I can't remember, but one of the free agents they brought in named them like the something, like the super team or something. And they were horrible.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Now, Glenn, I want to take a quick pivot, and I want to talk about something that's been on my mind since our live show last Saturday, and that is, first of all, Kadri absolutely LOLing on the idea of Zay Flowers being our number one wide receiver by the end of the year, which I'm standing on ultimately because we don't know what the other guys are going to be. All that being said, I'm not a Super Bowl wide receiver. I'm not a Super Bowl winning wide receiver, so, you know, it is what it is. But this is what I want to talk about really quickly from you because something I've been thinking about. In my mind, the utilization of Zay has been a lot of get him the ball early type stuff, like early and often, right? Just get him the ball, see what he can do in space. Talking to a friend of mine, so talking to Craig, hands picked, of course, we've had him on the show a couple times. He helped us out with the draft. He said, you know, I understand your point and I understand the idea of that, but I believe that Rashad Bateman will be the slot receiver. And I think that Zay and OBJ will be your two outside receivers. If you watch Zay's tape in college, almost exclusively an outside receiver. Even though he's a smaller, quick guy, doesn't, you know, you naturally want to plug him inside. I think Bateman has done a lot of good work in the slot, and he's already a bit more proven. So I kind of want to get your thoughts there because, you know, I'm not backing off my take. I still think that ultimately it comes down to whoever's the healthiest in that room. And right now, I guess all we can do is go on history. So I'm inclined to say it's going to be Zay Flowers. But what do you think about who's going to end up being in the slot? Because in my mind, I kind of automatically plug Zay in there. But Craig got me thinking a little bit, so I kind of want to get your thoughts on that.
Well, I'll say this. When you were saying it and I had Kadri next to me laughing, I'll be honest, Jimbo. I jumped on board with Kadri because it was the smarter, easier route, and it gave me an opportunity to kind of rag on you a little bit. So I was all on, but in reality, deep down inside, I think production wise, Bateman and Flowers will out, like numbers wise, as far as catches and yardage than OBJ. So I do think he'll be, I think I got him at number two as far as production behind Bateman. But so I'm with you. I think impact is different than production. And I think OBJ oftentimes will unfortunately be the kind of the recipient of a lot of the attention until just because of his and his talent, but his name as well that precedes him. So I think that there's going to be more like OBJ may end up with more touchdowns than those two guys, but I think both end up with more catches and more yards. So I don't think it's crazy what you're saying. As far as the, you know, who's the inside, who's the outside, I mean, from what I remember looking at, we definitely saw a lot of Zay outside, And certainly. But we also saw a lot of them in the slot. And I don't think there's going to be like, all right, OBJ's our outside, Flowers is our other outside, Bateman's the inside. I think they'll move them all over because they're just that talented, that versatile. And why not continue to keep the defense guessing by putting those guys in all those positions? So I think they're each going to have their opportunity to play on the outside and the slot because they all three can do it.
Yep.
But I don't think it's that crazy, even though I made it seem like that when I was
It's okay.
You know what I mean?
It's okay. I've been on an island before. Don't you worry.
This guy is so excited. I just love his personality. Like when you talk, like his smile is so freaking infectious. When that guy smiles, like he just makes you smile. I'm sitting there watching a video of him talk. I'm smiling like an idiot.
Are you like TJ? Remember TJ said smile on the picture? He's behind the camera and he starts smiling.
Yeah, like he just seems like a guy that just loves football. Like loves him some football. Yeah. And just, you know, he's excited. So I think he's going to have a ton of production. So I don't think you're that crazy, Jimbo.
Oh, that's okay. But I appreciate that. The other thing too, I'll say is I agree with you on the versatility. We have a rare mix of guys here that have done and can do it all, right? From a myriad of positions on the field. And so it's going to be exciting, but I keep salivating over the idea of Mark running a seam route, right? Coming off the end of the line of scrimmage. And stacked next to him or in his proximity is Zay, who's underneath, right? Where like Mark's just getting all this attention. And here comes the ultimate like jitterbug in Zay Flowers. And all Lamar's got to do is dunk it to him. And there's not a guy within 5 feet of him. And as soon as a guy gets close, it's like, well, here we go. You know what I mean? So that just gets me really excited. I'm super excited about Zay. This is the other thing I'll say. To put a bow on that, and I said it kind of later in the show, but ultimately, Godfrey's the same guy that's saying that Mark Andrews is going to get traded and that Charlie Kohler is going to be our number one tight end by the end of the season. I think that his is a much bigger stretch than mine.
Yeah, well, yeah, of course. Now, I think he was asked for a hot take, and that might be the difference here, but...
he put it out there on Twitter.
By the way, just so you know, as far as the snaps go, last year, 337 snaps out wide, and he had 166 snaps inside. So, definitely more outside, but 166 is not like he, didn't go inside. So this guy can obviously do it all and play anywhere. And don't be shocked if we don't see him on a punt return, maybe also to take full advantage of his ability to move with the ball in his hands. Now, speaking of these pass catchers. I want to talk about a bit of drama that's been dropping today. Now he's not a pass catcher, although we do expect his pass catching to increase in a big, big way this season under Monken. Some cryptic tweets came out from J.K. Dobbins, and I got to get your take on it because, I know I'm going to sound like an old man. I don't have a personal social media. We do it for the show, but I don't have one. But I got to just say, and Patrick Queen, now he came to the mature realization that he probably shouldn't have tweeted what he tweeted, shouldn't have removed all the Ravens stuff from his social media, but admitted that emotions can sometimes, get the better of you. But he tweets today that, let me just pull it up. He says, Baltimore, .. Ravens flock. I hope I'm here till the end of my career, .. I love you. And then he tweets out, I don't know, though, sadly, which was a little bit odd. But then just to make things even more confusing, he then tweets out, I'm Baltimore 2-3 till I'm gone. So what the hell is JK doing here, Jimbo?
You know, I think ultimately it's just one of those unfortunate scenarios where he's thinking out loud he's tweeting out loud. He's tweeting his thoughts out loud, right? Because it's negotiation season. He's coming into the third year. You know, he's a second round pick, so he's got 4 years. I'm sure his agent's pushing and they're talking. And the Ravens are like, look, we want to see you healthy, right? We want to see you healthy. Wait, this is his fourth year.
Yeah.
Yeah. For sure. So this is contract year. This is what it is. So he's trying to get some
contract year.
Yeah, he's trying to get some money and you look, maybe he's putting some pressure on him, but I think ultimately he's just thinking out loud and saying, look, I want to be here. But ultimately, I don't know. And this is just weird to us, I think. And like you said, it sounds a little old manish, but I totally understand your point in that, like, sometimes it's good just to keep things to yourself. Not everything has to be said.
Or and you share it to your friends and close family.
Right. Especially on social media. You know what right. I mean? Have your circle and just keep some things to yourself, you know? So look, ultimately, I think JK is going to be a huge benefactor of this offense. And I think he plays well and balls out. But I think the Ravens might have come back to his agent and say, look, we're in wait and see mode. But don't be surprised if an extension comes down middle of the year. It's week six. He's balling out. Boom, there goes the J.K. Dobbins extension, right?
Yeah, I guess so. But that was kind of my next question is, if he does ball out, is he simply putting on tape for another team? Because do you realistically see the Ravens paying a running back when they, you know, they're paying their quarterback, they're paying their tight end? I mean, do you realistically think they would sign him, or is he playing for a contract elsewhere?
Yeah, because the other thing you got to think about, so with Lamar's, so adding to your point, really to your question, Lamar's deal is done now, so there will be some casualties, and we have two running backs that are already not on rookie deals, so they're getting paid more than the rookie, right? Like, maybe not a first-round rookie, but Justice just signed a deal. Now, these aren't huge deals, but if you're talking about allotment to the running back room, right, this is more than just drafting and developing a guy. So now if JK gets the – we'll assume that JK's deal would be the biggest of the three in the room. Is that a sustainable thing, you know, with the increased cost of, you know, the yearly hit of Lamar's deal? That's a great question. And so I don't know at this point, right? I don't know. There's always options. There's always things they can do if they decide to pay JK. But he might end up being a casualty of Lamar's salary doubling, for, you know, from last year into this year for the next 5 years, right?
Yeah.
It's just – you can only do so much when you're paying your quarterbacks. The ultimate conundrum in the NFL. That's why the ultimate advantage is having a quarterback on a rookie deal.
No doubt. No doubt. And hopefully not playing like a rookie when he is on that rookie deal.
Right.
And also, we don't know to the degree of what, like, how important a running back is going to be in this offense. We know in you know, Greg Roman's offense, you need a stable of quality backs. But who knows what Monken's system – you know, is really designed to have. And honestly, let's be honest, the running back position in the NFL has been extraordinarily devalued. I mean, you see a guy like who is that from Dallas? Ezekiel Elliott still trying to get a job, can't find work. And Dalvin Cook, you know, they're trying to trade him out in Minnesota. They haven't found a partner. It looks like they could be on the verge of releasing him. So it makes you wonder, like, what would the market even be when the position's already been devalued and they look at – most teams look at it as, I can get a running back at the tail end of the draft or as an undrafted guy, and I might get the best years out of the – like, that's the sad thing about the running back is most of the time the best performance you're getting is during their rookie year. I mean, their rookie deal.
Certainly for the running back, I do find myself – feeling some type of way and empathy towards those guys. Who was the kid that was in Dallas that ended up in the Titans? Is that DeMarco Murray?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Back in the day?
Yep, never was the same after
you remember that whole scenario? Didn't they end up right, and they franchised him that last year. Isn't that how it worked? And they ended up leaving, and they juiced him for all he had, and that was it.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I do feel bad for those guys, certainly, but – I just,
especially for JK,
because
like, he lost all that time with the injury. It's like,
Yeah, but I'll tell you this. The one thing JK can say is that every time I've been on the field, I've done nothing but been one of the best in the league.
Right. Yeah, that's true. Like, that's true.
You know, he's got a leg to stand on.
The chat clearly wants to play Metabike. The chat, I can see, they want to pay Metabike before they pay JK, before they pay
– yeah.
Anybody, it looks like, is they want to Patrick Queen. They want to sign Metabike. And look, I hear you that he's an ascending player. This is a big year for Metabike after he was predicted by some to make that jump last year and in fact compete for defensive player of the year, which we talk about a hot take. That was that might have been hotter than Charlie Kohler over Mark Andrews' take right there.
Yeah. So but, that's a perfect name. I mean, we can go through and bring up other scenarios. Maybe we do a video on that later on. We dig deep in the priority list of signings of, you know, as far as roster retention moving forward. But yeah, it's a perfect name. I mean, there's so many examples of guys like that where it's like, who would you rather pay in comparison to a JK or, you know, name another name, right? So that's a great one. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what Meta BK does this year.
Yeah, and then the next thing I wanted to bring up, since we really don't know what's going on with JK, we have to kind of wait and see what happens next and if he shows up to camp. But one thing that broke a couple days ago, which has me really surprised, I'm trying to find the source. I believe it was, I don't want to say the wrong place, but somebody broke the news recently, and maybe the chat can help us. This is where we need DK. But
yeah,
a report came out just a couple days ago that was saying that maybe the reason Marcus Peters isn't here right now or won't be brought back by the Ravens is because apparently he had a bit of a dust up with Lamar Jackson at the tail end of last year. And at least from the report, it's saying that it was based on the fact that Marcus Peters felt that Lamar Jackson could have played through the injury and should have been out there with his team rather than, you know, waiting to be 100%. And he's not the only guy we've heard talk about it, but apparently he was spewing some pretty, he was spewing some vitriol in the direction of Lamar Jackson. So, I got to imagine if we're hearing now from him, we heard Sammy Watkins mention it to the press last year before backpedaling. How big of a group do you think that is of those who thought, you know, I'm not 100% either. I'm only 50, 60, 80%. Maybe Lamar should play at whatever percent he is like I am. And also, do you think that that's something that's preventing Marcus Peters from being brought back to the Ravens?
Yeah. So you – after you said also, you cut out. You just ended your question.
Oh, so do you think that there's a at least a small group that had those same feelings about Lamar, that he should have been playing in that playoff game? And then do you think this dust-up could be the reason Marcus isn't here?
Yeah, so to the number – I'll answer in chronological order here. I do think now that, you know, Marcus is – that story has been made public, and like you said – if it's one, it's an anomaly. If it's two, it's a trend, right? And so what other guy? I would be willing to bet that it's probably the, like, over 30 or 31 club. You know, where the guys that realize how hard it is to get to be on a team this good and this talented and knowing how close they were if Lamar had been healthy in comparison to the young guys that still think the window's wide open for them and maybe don't quite realize yet that opportunities like this don't come around as often. So I understand both sides of it. You know, self-preservation is important. Lamar wanted to get paid and things like that. But I also understand Marcus's side and that type of passion and all or nothing, all chips on the table type mentality is one of the reasons that Marcus is great. So, I do think that I would be willing to bet that there's another handful of guys, 3, 4, 5 guys that probably agree with Marcus and really wanted Lamar to be out there, but simply didn't say it publicly and their story didn't get out there. I also wonder I would have loved to be a fly on the wall in that scenario. Like, Lamar doesn't seem the type of guy that is gonna – Marcus is much more vocal and demonstrative than Lamar Jackson. So how does Lamar respond in that scenario? Because Marcus ain't holding back. You know what I mean? He's simply not. So, like, I'm curious to know what that was like. But ultimately, to your second question, I'm going to say no, Glenn. I still think there's a chance that Peters does come back. I don't think that it's something that – I think if John went to Lamar and said, hey, this isn't, like – unable to be repaired, right? Like, this isn't because Marcus is good. We know Marcus is good and he can change his team. I don't think Lamar is the type of guy that would be like, no, you know, I don't want him around. Like, remember when Trey Lance was complaining about Jimmy G still hanging around? Like, you know, that insecurity does not, Lamar does not strike me as that type of person. So I think he'd be over it, right? So I don't think that that would be the reason. The only way it would be is if it was so bad that the coaches just feel like they can't trust Marcus anymore. But I just don't think that's the case.
So do you think it's mainly money driven?
I do.
Okay. Yeah.
I still think if I was a betting man, I don't know what the odds are for landing spots of Marcus Peters, but I think that the Ravens have still the best odds.
Nice. Yeah. That'd be nice to hear. I mean, look, everyone, when you're on a team, you'll have dust ups with your teammates. Certainly, offense versus defense, I think would be more likely, but, man, I just hope that he didn't say it. Cause look, when we get angry, if we get upset, sometimes we say things that you just can't take back. You can't, once the bottle's open, it's open. Like, I just hope that he didn't say any of those unforgivable things. You know, there's certain things, certain lines you can't cross, even when you are in the heat of an argument. So, I just hope that he didn't say anything that's not, you know, I always tell people, like, when you're mad, take a couple deep breaths, because you could say something that could permanently change your relationship with the person you're mad at, and it could be something that you're going to get over in a couple deep breaths. So hopefully there's no, you know, this isn't going to prevent him from coming. But also, I hope that he's not just the vocal spokesman for a small group who are still here and that are still kind of questioning why he wasn't out there. Because to your point, Jimbo, as you get older, you realize that playoffs aren't guaranteed, and damn sure competing for championships is not guaranteed. So I got to imagine there were some older, like you mentioned, the veterans who were going, this might be my last best shot at winning something. And I know that we're not going very far unless number 8's under center. So I do agree that, it could be a small group that feels this way. I just hope that, you know, whatever, that's all kind of behind everyone right now, and that they're not still, you know, worried about that now that the contract's been signed.
Yeah, I would say that same group, if there's guys that are still here, that part of that feeling is that they want to win at all costs. And so I think I think once you get to a certain point, all of us, like, business is just business. You know what I mean? Like, I want Lamar under center, and my personal feelings don't change that, right? Like, however they feel on, because they know that it's all about winning at the end of the day. So he gives you the best chance of winning, and it is what it is, right? Like, it doesn't do you any good to hold on to it. So that's what I'm hoping. But hopefully there's no conviction lost in our offensive leader from those guys.
Yeah, because your quarterback now, not only is he your leader, but now he's the highest paid player, which I've always heard, your leaders have to be, first of all, they have to be good. I don't care how good of a leader you are. If you're not a good player, no one's going to take you seriously.
Then you're a coach.
Yeah. I think there's only one person who's an exception to this rule, and it seems like it's Udonis Haslam for the Miami Heat, because this guy is so, I mean, he's still there. He doesn't play a lick, but he's still on the roster because he is the culture. Like, he is the culture checker. When someone's not acting right, he will check you back into the right lane, even though he doesn't play a minute in the postseason. Yeah.
Well, he does have a resume to stand on, though, right?
He does. But at this point, if I was his teammate, I'd be like, can't you just become a coach by now and free up that extra roster spot? Like, you don't like,
yeah,
play.
I'd be getting paid less.
That's true. I guess that's probably why. Yeah.
You know?
But there's no cap on assistant point. Coaches, you know?
There you go. That's awesome. But
anyway, do you have any issue with, let me see here, I have the list here of the players. I'm going to give you the name and you quickly hit yes or no. Tell me yes or no. Do you have an issue of them not being there? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll start with the top. J.K. Dobbins.
No.
All right. Pat Ricard.
No.
Because, hold on, before I go any further, is it because you don't think he's still going to be here, or because you don't think it's really valuable for him to learn the offense this early?
Is it both?
Okay. All right. How about Odell Beckham?
A little.
Okay, a little. How about Nelson Aguilar?
Nah.
Because at least you saw him working with Lamar, right?
Yeah, well, it's going to be Nelson. Run a seam route as fast as you can.
That's true. Like, And how about Kevin Zeitler or Ronnie Stanley?
No, not at all. I mean, those guys the least.
Yeah, that's why I put them together, because I knew you'd say, I don't give a damn. How about this one? This one, Travis Jones. Young guy.
I wonder if the only thing I can think about that, I wonder if he's trying to get himself in physical shape. I wonder if he's maybe a little behind the eight ball right now.
Okay. Now, I assume, you know, since we've seen Roquan at all the other stuff, the fact that he was absent today, does that bother you?
No.
Okay. No. Okay. No. All right. And then the last, it looks like all the main corners weren't participating. We had Marlon, Caillou Blue Kelly, Pepe Williams, Rock Ya-Sin. None of those participated.
Nah. I mean, it would have been nice to see Caillou and Rock Ya-Sin, but I don't have a issue with it. Do you differ with me on any of these?
Well, I got to imagine Caillou's absence was meant for some like sort rest of a small injury. I don't even think rest. Yeah. I mean, he's a rookie. He should be out there. So I hope that it's not a serious injury, because I got to imagine if he's healthy, he's out there. And then Pepe Williams, same thing. I mean, if you're not hurt, you're a young guy fighting and scratching and clawing to try and get on this roster. I think you should be there. But I mean, do I think it's going to like affect how they're playing in September, October? No, absolutely not.
Yeah, you know, the reason that I said OBJ, kind of, just such a tone setter. It's a reverberation about, you know, same reason why it makes a difference that Roquan is there in comparison to, like, okay, if Patrick Ricard shows up, that's cool. But if Roquan shows up, everyone's like, oh, okay. You know what I mean? So I feel like if OBJ shows up, it sets a tone, you know?
Yeah, I bet if OBJ showed up, maybe the rest of the missing wide receivers and maybe even the corners might even show up.
Yeah. Yeah, now I want to end with this, Glenn, unless you have a different opinion on that list than I do. Cuz I have a question for you.
I agree. Yep, I agree.
Do you think PFF has a bone to pick with Baltimore?
You know, I don't know what it is, because I don't know why they would have an issue with specifically Baltimore, but it does start to get obnoxious when you see these glaring omissions from all these top 10, top 20 lists, when it's pretty universally agreed upon that some of these guys deserve to be at least in the top 10. And when you pull up a list and you see Ronald Darby is ahead of Marlon Humphrey, you go, what the hell?
Oh, so you know where I'm going.
Yeah, I saw your tweets. I saw you going at PFF. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, really? How, like, in what statistical analytical way can you leave Marlon Humphrey out of the top 10 corners in the NFL? I don't think there's a single way you can dice this.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't understand it. There's not a ton of like, I'd take Sauce over him, because Sauce was the best corner in football in his rookie season. No matter who you ask, like, you ask PFF, he's number one. You ask like a scout, like all of them. He was the all pro. So, but after him, there's really not a ton I'm taking over Marlon. Right. Like, now we know him more. Like, we know how valuable he is in the community. We know how, you know, how much of a leader he is, the fact that he shows up to almost every single thing, even when he doesn't need to be there. So maybe that's playing a part, but man, it's puzzling, Jimbo, because some of the names, I'm like, are you trolling us? Like, what's going on here?
Yeah, it's the third slight, because remember Lamar, when he was under 25 years old, was left off the top 25 players under 25 years old.
It's crazy.
And Lamar Jackson was on the list. And then Ronnie Stanley was not in the top 10 tackles in the NFL. And then, of course, Marlon Humphrey, not a top 10 corner. This is just getting insane. It's getting out of hand.
Oh, and getting also, now some people may disagree, but Eric DaCosta was nowhere to be seen in the top GMs as well.
It's
nowhere
insanity.
To be seen.
Absolute insanity. Oh,
and then
gosh.
I saw guys like Les Snead up there. I just don't understand how they pick this. It's frustrating, but I use PFF for their non-biased grades, but I don't listen to their when Steve from PFF puts out his top 15 list, because usually it's hot garbage.
Yeah, garbage indeed. Absolutely. Nice. Well, I had fun. You got some more you want to get off your chest?
No, that's my list has been crossed off. We've talked about it all. Now, of course, if there's any breaking news, you know, we'll be back on here. But I know next week, don't miss Jimmy too much, because I believe it's next week, right, Jimbo?
That's correct. Yeah.
Yep. So you'll be getting a heavy dose of the G-Man. I'm going to be efforting to get some guests in here, so it's not all on you know, just have to look at this mug all day. But I'm going to be efforting to get some guests on here. Well, of course, we're going to expand, and next week will be really the kickoff of some more Orioles talk, which I know fans are excited about. Their best team in the league right now. So it's a big, exciting time to be a fan in Baltimore, and we will keep you up to date on all your news. Thank you guys so much for coming out and joining us this evening. Please, everyone, wish Jimbo happy travels in his vacation. Hope all goes well with you and your family. Hope everything you know, is stress-free, as it should be on vacation. And that's it for us tonight. We will I'll be back next week.
See you.